Welcome to the Educause Podcast.
I think the funders of libraries are, in some cases anyway, saying, great, everything's going digital. We don't need to worry about the physical facilities for the library anymore. The library should stop preserving and maintaining and purchasing print collections, period.
That's Roger Schoenfeld, Manager of Research at Ithaca, an organization that helps the academic community use digital technologies to preserve the scholarly record and to advance research and teaching in sustainable ways. I'm Jerry Bain for Educause, and I spoke with Roger about the recent faculty survey released by Ithaca.
Ithaca recently conducted a faculty survey addressing several aspects of the library as an institution, and one of the key findings was that basic scholarly information use practices have shifted rapidly in recent years, and as a result, the academic library is increasingly being disintermediated from the discovery process, risking irrelevance in one of its core areas. Now, does this mean that the role of the library is changing, replacing that core area with another function, or does the library need to pursue maintaining the role of the discovery process?
Well, this is a fantastic question. It's one that we are trying to really help people think through. What we've seen over the course of the last 10 years or so that we've been running the faculty survey has been a steady decline in faculty starting with locally driven starting points for their scholarly research and moving towards network-level starting points. And in conjunction with that shift away from the local and towards the network, we've seen a steady devaluation or decreasing valuation of the library as the starting point or gateway for their research process. Now, I think that that's a finding that for many people has been a surprise and for others has not been a surprise. I think that we've watched the steady disintermediation is the sort of word that a lot of people hate to hear used, but the disintermediation of all sorts of information services enterprises over the recent past. And I think the library is one of those where for the discovery process, it's just not as much in that workflow as much as it might have been in the past. I think for many libraries, and for many academic libraries in particular, there has been a march towards offering other kinds of services, such as teaching support and research support services that really engage directly with faculty members and students to assist them in new kinds of ways. And I think that while we do not have the data from our survey to establish whether those roles are going to increase in the eyes of faculty members to take the place of what had been the importance of this gateway role, that certainly is a strategy that many, many libraries are pursuing. The alternative possibility would be that libraries, instead of trying to reposition themselves to provide new sources of value for faculty and students, might instead try to work to maintain or reclaim their role in discovery. And I think that that's a strategic dilemma that libraries face. I think the question as to whether some of the efforts to purchase and license discovery layer services to compete against, in essence, to compete against Google is an investment that many libraries today are making, but I think probably without fully analyzing their likelihood of being able to recapture that role. Now, I say that with respect to faculty members, and of course, libraries serve students as well, and I think that it could be that for students, there's a very different kind of discovery environment where the library can play a much more active role.
What does the shift in comfort level with digital scholarly materials say about the future of libraries?
Well, our findings are very clear on this. Journals are moving away from print steadily and towards electronic, and with some very, very minor exceptions, we're going to see an all-electronic environment for scholarly journals. Exceptions are probably art history and maybe some of the non-Roman character fields. But with the exception of those, scholarly journals are going all-electronic. We cannot, at this point, conclude by any means that the same sort of transition will take place for books or monographs, where scholarly preferences are still decidedly rooted with the print formats, mm-hmm. And where the idea of even bringing ebooks into the scholarly workflows are just not seen as very important to research or teaching. Resolving what's going on with books, for me, is the biggest research question out there right now in terms of understanding the future of libraries. if there's to be a transition for journals but not for books, where all of the e-books, all of the book digitization efforts become supplementary rather than a replacement for print collections, then our need for libraries as large collections of print materials will remain, even if it will shift in certain ways. More likely, I think we're going to see a real transformation of books in the future, maybe not in the near term, but in the long term, towards electronic formats. And I think that if that happens, the need for libraries to shift dramatically from a capital-intensive storage facilities for print materials towards a completely services-driven environment built around the provision of electronic versions of scholarly materials would be really profound.
It's interesting because you've got these two forces. You've got the force of convenience because digital is very convenient, but then you've got this whole infrastructure that needs to be supported that is sort of from the print era.
Well, and I think what we're seeing is a huge interest among the librarian managers of our collections in trying to understand how they can dramatically reduce the expenditure on that print infrastructure so that they can allocate those resources elsewhere, which is to say towards services that speak directly to faculty and students. I think that that comes about in the enormous movement that is underway right now and where Ithaca, through our What to Withdraw initiative and some other work that we're doing here, we're playing a role in to try to help libraries build a more efficient system for managing print journal holdings as they become accessible digitally. Libraries are not always able to say to their provosts or, you know, other funding sources, well, we know for journals we can make this transition safely and appropriately, but for books we're not quite there yet. And I think the sort of funders of libraries are, in some cases anyway, not appreciating that distinction and are saying, great, that means everything's going digital. We don't need to worry about the physical facilities for the library anymore. The library should stop preserving and maintaining and purchasing print collections, period. That, of course, is very risky, and I think as a community we would want to make sure that this transition happens in as rational and reasonable a way as possible.
Another of the key findings in the Ithaca study is a sort of, some would say, an indictment of the culture surrounding scholarly communication, saying that conservative attitudes impede change. Could you address this attitude and some of the factors surrounding its persistence?
Yeah, absolutely. We see scholars driven by the professional incentives that they face in their workplace, which is to say a set of incentives that are driven by a tenure and promotion process where the brands in which one publishes and the impact that one's publications are likely to have, the visibility of one's publications with regard to one's peers are all important. So I don't personally see our findings as an indictment so much as an explanation of the fact that there's a professional culture that drives faculty incentives. I think that this does impede change to the extent that change is desired. We certainly conclude that there is no prospect of looking to faculty members writ large as the leaders of change. But at the same time, it points those who want to see change, dramatic change in scholarly communications, towards taking that on board and looking to other means of driving change, whether it's institutional mandates, whether it's branding an open access journal, not so much leading with the fact that it's open access, but leading with the fact of the kind of professional impact and visibility that it can give to an author. I think that our survey findings, when used in that kind of way, can help anybody, whether they're someone who's in favor of change in scholarly communication or someone who opposes it, in trying to understand faculty attitudes and how they can contribute to their work.
I appreciate your time, Roger. Is there anything else that you'd like to add that we haven't covered?
No, this is great, Jerry.
Thanks
so much. Nice to talk to you.
Okay,
take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Roger Schoenfeld, Manager of Research at Ithaca. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE. Thanks for listening.